Hello, I'm Hayley Hayes, and it's a pleasure to have you join us for another episode of the Radio Academy podcast, your go-to for all the latest and greatest in the world of radio and podcasts. The highest honour the Radio Academy may give upon a member of the radio industry in the UK is a fellowship of the Academy. Our esteemed Managing Director, Aradhna Tayol Lynch, takes a seat with Matt Deegan, Director of Folder Media and Podcast Discovery. It's the final instalment in our series where we introduce you to this year's newly appointed Radio Academy Fellows, all announced at this year's Radio Academy Festival. Without further ado, let's dive right into this conversation between Aradhna and Matt.
Huge congratulations on your fellowship. I have to ask, did you know it was coming?
I had an inkling. I think because it was a little delayed, that's a hard secret to keep for a year, I think.
Matt, I mean, Director of Folder Media, Podcast Discovery, Fun Kids, Muxco, previously of Next Radio, British Podcast Awards, many, many more. You're a consultant, a producer, content manager, you look after licensing, you've got a commitment supporting people in audio and the industry. I mean, the list goes on. How do you describe yourself? Do we say entrepreneur?
Massively distracted by listening to most of those things. I think, oddly, I mean, entrepreneur just sounds like you're some sort of apprentice idiot, I think, sometimes. I think I've always been interested in projects and doing new things, seeing where there are opportunities and being able to jump on those opportunities. I'm much better at sort of starting something new than I am of carrying something on. Obviously, there are lots of projects we do that are ongoing, but we tend to build great teams that do all of that sort of day-to-day work. I think the bit that I'm probably good at is the starting of stuff. And trying to identify an opportunity. And so I've been very fortunate in everything I've done is that I generally have a collaborator. It's really rare that I do anything on my own. And so with Folder Media and Fun Kids, me and Gregory Watson set that up. With the Podcast Awards, that was with Matt Hill, and even like Next Radio with James Cridland. So I also benefit a lot when I'm working with someone or can sort of bounce ideas off. Also, I think it's very hard to, if you're listening and you'd set up a new thing, it's very difficult to do that on your own. And so like finding good collaborators, I think is always really important.
How do you come up with the ideas when you say you look at different ideas and start something up?
I'm always interested in problems, and that's like problems I face with things that I do often. And you sort of think, oh, is there a thing that fixes this? Or like, why doesn't this happen? And sometimes you look into that and realize that no one's done something, or it's hard for someone to do something. And you think, oh, do I have anything to add to this? A sort of lived experience of being like a user or someone that has faced that problem. I have a sort of, me and a colleague, David Madeline, have a little tool called Podfollow, which is a sort of a link you can give to podcasts. And that came from us producing the first series of the Love Island podcast. We were doing that and ITV asked us, so how should we link to the podcast? And it was, oh God, there isn't really an easy way. And, you know, they came from a very sort of TV mindset. And I was like, well, you know, there's a Spotify link and there's an Apple link and there's a Google link and then this work. And as I was explaining it, I was thinking, oh gosh, this is dreadful, isn't it? And we sort of came up with a fix for that was sort of a quick fix. And then we're like, oh, this is a bigger problem, isn't it? And so that led to us kind of making something else. British Podcast Awards came from a conversation me and Matt had, and we were saying, it's weird that there isn't an awards for podcasting. And then we were concerned that someone else would do it and do it really badly. And so we thought, oh, maybe we should try and do it. In that early conversation, I said, you know, if I have to stand on a chair in an all bar one and read out the winners, well, that's okay, isn't it? You know, that's a start. And we were fortunate in that it was a bit bigger than that. We were worried thinking whether people would regard it as a decent thing, as a real thing. And we're really paranoid about that and being kind of proper, like a proper award. But actually, people were just over the moon that there was one and they were just really keen to support it. And our sort of worries were unfounded. And again, you don't really realize that until you start to have a play with it. I think the bigger businesses, so for Folder Media, so myself and Gregory Watson had worked at GWR and GCAP. And we had bid for lots of licenses and done a lot of the regulatory work. We had quite a bit of success in 1 year, and we didn't necessarily think that that success had been recognised by the company that we'd worked for or our bosses there. And we were a bit down by that, actually. We were sort of a bit sad because we'd worked really hard and done what we thought was quite a good job. And then we sort of knuckled down, and there were some new digital radio licenses to bid for. So it was like, right, let's kind of get back in the saddle and do that. And a colleague had sort of was talking to us and sort of said, why are you working for them? Why don't you try and do it yourself? Which was a great question to ask, and one that we hadn't really considered. I think, again, back to collaboration or having people, it's good to talk to people because you don't know what might come out of it. And that led us on a route to create MuxCo and bid for a load of licenses, which we were kind of successful at. And we were the right people at the right time when these licenses were coming up. It was a new thing. And so everything just sort of worked. I think what was beneficial was that we had some skill in that area, and there weren't lots of people that did that. And so a bit about, I think, seeing that there's an opportunity and very much out of both of our comfort zones. And I remember when we sort of both left and we had issues with, you know, slight issues with notice periods and boring things like that. And then eventually we sort of started working together again and sat down in this office, and there was the two of us with Microsoft Word. And it's like, right, we've got to write some applications and see if we can do this. And I mean, much of a gamble for Gregory, who was way more senior than I was at that time. For me, it was like, I was going to get another job. If it doesn't work, it'll be okay. And yeah, and so we sort of sat down across the table and sort of got on with bidding for those licenses. And that was the basis for a lot of what Folder Media and MuxCo did. That gave us opportunity then to look at what was Fun Radio and acquiring that and turning into Fun Kids. And just looking at things that we thought were interesting, problems to solve, and try and get on with it. And some have been successful, a lot have not been successful, or things didn't quite work out. I think trying to have the room in your jobs, whether you work for someone or you work for yourself, have the room to allocate time to new ideas is quite important, or having the ability to try those new ideas. We all kind of heard 10 years ago about, you know, Google's 20% time where they got to work on other projects or other things. I think trying to find that time is important, and a lot of good ideas comes out of that.
What drives you at that point to be able to think, oh, well, I've got these three other companies I'm running, but actually now's the time to set up another one? And to see it through all of the tough bits.
Yeah, I think in some ways ideas are often the easy part. I think execution is difficult, and creating something to be able to execute the idea. Sometimes that's raising money, and that's a difficult thing to do. You've got to convince other people to give you cash. A lot of things we've done have been kind of bootstrapped. So ideas that can work just off elbow grease and don't necessarily need lots of money. And I think that's about finding time in your lives. And that can be difficult depending on you've got a family or kids or, you know, other responsibilities. I think that, again, that's where collaboration can be useful, because you can sort of share that load. I think there's an interesting bit with ideas, like, is there a sort of minimum viable product? You know, what's the sort of the first thing you need to get to for the thing to sort of be live? And is that achievable? Is that attainable? I think also, is it something you can do? I think there's a variety of skills that kind of different people have. I'm quite good at coming up with a plan, or like thinking through a lot of the implications of something. I think I'm quite good at that. I can do a lot of things that I could do at a lower level. So like, I can make a website, or I can use Photoshop, or I can do a bit of video editing. I'm not amazingly good at it, but I can do like a decent go at those things. And like most, you know, at the lower level, I can teach myself how to do that on YouTube. I would have done that a lot earlier in my career. I find it much harder now, especially around time, to have the time to learn. Particularly if you're coming up in any industry or in the media industry, you've got to work out how you can build your own skills, I think, and your company can help you do that. But what can you read? I'm like a vociferous reader, love reading about media and what other people are doing. And I get a huge kind of kick out of trying to understand other people's businesses and things. I know my wife quite a lot if we're driving past something. We're in a town centre the other day, and for Christmas they had built a little kind of mini fairground in the town centre. And I was like, what's the business model of one of these like ghost trains? Like, how much does it cost to build a ghost train? And how many people do you need in a ghost train for it to, what the, I'm always sort of fascinated about that. I'd love if everyone had to post their like business spreadsheets online, maybe at a company's house, you could work out, how does that work? I'm sort of quite interested in trying to unlock or think about how someone's done something. And I'm quite inspired by like ideas and things that people are doing. And I sort of think, how does that apply to my business? Or how does that think? I'm like really interested in thinking, like how has someone's thinking got to this point?
When you're building these different companies and brands and partnerships, you know, there are clear connections, you know, across them, as you've said, as well as them being very, very distinct in their own right. Was there any point a conscious decision to create a new company rather than, say, arms of an existing company? Or do you, you know, how does that work and what's your thinking?
It's about who's involved in different things. So Folder Media is me and Gregory and Nikki, who are the sort of staff in it. But then it has some So quite a lot of the companies owned by external shareholders. We sold them on the idea of a multiplex business. That was kind of the thing that they bought into. We then sort of did Fun Kids within that structure. And in the conversations with some of those shareholders, they were sort of less interested about the content side and they were more interested in the platform side. So we decided to sort of spin Fun Kids off into its own entity, and that has like a different ownership group. There's a bit about that, you know, who's funding these things. When I did the awards, it was basically a little side project. It was just a little fun thing to do. Just do an award, see what happens. How much time can it be to organise an awards ceremony? Turns out quite a lot. Again, that sort of evolved separately and with Matt. So a lot of it is sort of organic. I think there is a bit about trying to understand what value you're creating, also risk. So some of these things are risky, and some people are like, well, you know, I haven't put money into your business to do these things. I just want to do this thing. And that's fine. And yeah, so there's a bit about that really, and just looking at, you know, what's the right home for these things. And also a lot of it does come down to money. You know, what's its future direction? Is it here to be a bootstrap business and grow gradually? Is it about getting investment to really accelerate growth? Is it about selling something off or partnering? What's that right mix, and having the flexibility to do that's important, I think, too.
I just wanted to find out how you manage your own time. So juggling all these many, many different hats and businesses and partnerships, and then managing all of the different teams to deliver. How do you fit it all in?
I think the easy answer is I don't sometimes. It's not magical. It's some things need more focus than others at different times. We run the Fun Kids operation is quite a large operation, does a lot of different things. It's a relatively small team, but there's probably sort of 20 people that are involved in that sort of each week, some full time, some part time. There's things that I'm kind of more responsible for with Fun Kids, so look after that side. Muxco is a multiplex business, has a big focus for me and Greg because it generates quite a lot of money, but it's quite complicated. There are lots of transmitters on lots of hills across the country. There are lots of service providers. Some are fairly stable, your kind of BBCs and globals. Some are new people that are trying things out and need to spend some time with those people, seeing how they're doing, adding new people to the multiplexes. It's a large kind of going concern, so that has a focus. Myself and Matt Hill, we sold the Podcast Awards business last year to Haymarket, and we're sort of have set up a marketing company called Podcast Discovery, and have been focused on staffing that up, really. And that's the team, supporting the team there who are getting on kind of building that business. And again, it requires different skills and different amount of my time to help do that. I think finding good people and good teams is essential for all of these things, and trying our best to give the support to the team. Sometimes we're very good at that, and sometimes we're not so good at that, and different people require different things. But I think I try and think a lot about who's working for us and what they're doing, and are we tapping into their talents? Are we giving them the right skills? How do we help them fit in? And I'm always, you know, very disappointed if sometimes we can't get that to work. You know, every person that you add to a business is perfect for you, or you for them. But it's a bit I'm really interested in, and I think for Fun Kids, very fortunate that we've got a great content director in Lloydie running that. But I love the relationship with the presenters. I still stay quite involved with what the presenters are doing and what their career journeys are and who our next kind of wave of Fun Kids presenters. I think we've created something where those people go on to do very interesting things in radio and media, and we're a great training ground for them. I'm very proud of kind of what they come up with, and when it goes well, how we support them and the content they come up with, and what they'll then go on to do.
Would you describe your management style as quite hands-on?
I love it when people are better than I am at something. I love it when they tell me I'm wrong, or are pointing out the things that have changed, or the things that they're doing, or have done something new. Like, I'm just over the moon when that happens. Challenging, not, I don't think in a negative way. Like, I'm very interested in sort of what we're doing. Like, what's the plan? I often say that's a phrase that I probably say to a client. What's the plan? What are we doing? Why are we doing that? What's gonna happen? I think we devolve quite a bit of responsibility to the teams, or they have the ability to have the responsibility if they want it, or that they show that they're able to have it. And I try and think a lot about big picture, or like, hey, this stuff's changing, it's going to affect us in 6 months, or we've got to really start to worry about that. And I might marshal some resources to solve what I think will be a future problem. I think if you're in senior management, particularly if I think for CEOs, and we don't really sort of have that title at the things that I do, but like a CEO is sort of there to marshal the resources and set the strategy, and sort of where you move money or where you move resources should be led by the strategy. And that sort of is I think the job of a really good senior manager, is that they look at their resources and can move and change that. And I think it's the same for bigger companies, and obviously bigger companies in the radio space, or even at the BBC or things like that. Like, I think you truly know that you have a senior role when you can redirect efforts and redirect money to different things.
Matt, just before we finish, you've just launched Podcast Discovery with your longtime collaborator, Matt Hill. Tell us a bit about it.
So it came from this conversation that we'd had with basically everybody we spoke to over the Podcast Awards years, which is everyone says, how do you get more listeners? Or I'd like more listeners. And it's been strange. We thought it was strange that every newish media, so YouTube or Instagram or whatever, sort of gets its own selection of marketing agencies. And oddly, podcasting hadn't really had that. There were people that did a good job about a certain thing, so worked with them a lot. Some like Carver PR do an excellent PR job for podcasts, but they don't necessarily do broader range of marketing or paid for buying or social media content or video content. And we just thought there's room for a full service agency to do that. And so this year we've been focused on building a team and helping grow a group of people that can do that. We've worked with lots of fun podcasts already. We did the launch for Pod Save the UK. We did a lot of work for Podomo. Got a few other bits and bobs that we're doing at the moment as well, which we can talk about maybe a little bit later next year. And I think it's harder to get people to listen to shows. I think my sort of general view, and talking to everyone, is the growth in listening has slowed a little bit. It's still going up, but has slowed. And the amount of time people give to podcasts often is sort of starting to max out. So if you need someone to listen to your show, kind of like Dead Man's Boots, you've got to occupy a space they already have with another show. And I think that sort of changes the marketing that shows need to do. So kind of up till now, it was sort of growth for everybody and everybody just sort of went up. I think that's more difficult now. So again, I think having Discovery, which does PR, social video, feed swaps, paid for advertising, paid for social media, events, subscription, advice, all of that stuff, you need to work together on a show. So you can't just do one thing. Each show needs its own sort of marketing mix to grow and be successful. And as the more we do shows, the more info we're picking up on what are the right techniques for different types of shows and what can they do to grow audiences. In some ways, it's a very old-fashioned business. It's like it's just a marketing agency, like there have been, again, for years and years and years. But it's one that's sort of very focused on one thing, and that's how do you grow audiences to support people and companies who are going into that space. For anybody who works in audio, like there hasn't been a time where there's more kind of opportunities. You know, I think we're in like a platinum age of audio. It's maybe not exactly what has happened in the past, and the ways to do it are changing, but you know, listeners are consuming more types of audio from more different places. And so if you're great at making it or marketing it or selling it, there's sort of never been a better time and more opportunities than ever before.
Matt, thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate you sharing your story, your tips and your expertise. And huge congratulations again on your fellowship.
Big thanks to Matt for his time today. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the Radio Academy podcast so you don't miss an episode. We'll be back in the new year. So all that's left for me to say is Happy New Year, and I'll catch you on the other side.